971-6121 or go to www.strayrescue.org.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay, Tuesday morning at 8, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of a tornado may be impossible to avoid, but you can avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. For more tips about avoiding disaster fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban Parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alarcón, President of the Cuban Parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. How bad is it for Boy George? How bad is it? You want me to tell you? How bad is it? Lord, it's bad. How bad is it? It's bad when your own base, when the super duper Republican right wings frothing at the mouth pundits, when they're using my material. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is when they are using the stuff that I say on this show. And you want the proof? Do you want the proof? For 10 minutes, the talk show host grilled his guests about whether, and I quote, George Bush's mental weakness is damaging Americans' credibility at home and abroad. For 10 minutes, the caption around the bottom of this pundit's television show said, "Is George Bush an idiot?" Ouch! 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 And it wasn't a wake-up call. It was Scarborough. Scarborough. Isn't that something? Do you understand the 1-2 punch of that? Not only is he asking the question that we asked from the day that George Bush announced he wanted to run and it became clear that he was going to be this party's nominee, I said, you said, this man's too stupid to be the president. And I hand to the up above. Folks, called into my station, called into my show, saying out their mouth, well, you don't have to do well in school and be bright to be the president. How's that working out for you? My name is Liz Brown. Oh, we ain't done here. Ouch! Is George Bush an idiot? Ouch! Yes.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay Tuesday morning at 8 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talon says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talon does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talon, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talon, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban Parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alarcón, president of the Cuban Parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown.
Real life, on the cutting edge, it's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right, he assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid, afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say, so he prays, whatever, 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 whatever happens, don't let go of my hand.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back. I think, George, baby, I think they're letting go of your hand. The truth be told, I think they letting go of your hand. I hate to be the one to tell you. Joe Scarborough, former Republican congressman turned MSNBC political smack mouth. He said, and I quote, "While other presidents have been called stupid, I think George Bush is in a league by himself. I don't think he has the intellectual depth of these other people, that stupid people. He's not as stupid as stupid people," according to Joe Scarborough. Ouch. 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 They need to stop stealing my stuff. They need to stop stealing my stuff. Huh. Richard Lowry has said, and he's the editor of the National Review, "There is more of a sense now that things are on a downward trajectory and a more willingness to acknowledge it and pressure the administration to react to it." No. The technical legal term for what is happening right now within the Republican Party, and again, I'm going to try to say this slowly so that it's clear, because this is technical legal language. Rats jumping ship. Kerplunk. 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 What we have are rats jumping ship. George Will mocked George Bush's administration last week. Mocked him. Mocked him. And then the White House, George Bush, responded with a 2,432-word rebuttal. A column three times as long as George Will's column. Oh, baby, it's not going to be enough. William F. Buckley Jr., after Boy George threw him a party celebrating his birthday, his 80th birthday, after George Bush threw his friend William F. Buckley a party, William F. Buckley said, "I don't care. Our mission has failed in Iraq, George." Ouch! Ouch! Huh. He's not stupid. He's not smart enough. He's not smart enough to be stupid. He is not smart enough to be stupid. He doesn't have. There is a level that is below stupidum that George Bush has achieved, and his own people are finally listening to the wake up call. No, he's not smart enough to be stupid. He doesn't have the grades to make stupid. Ooh, Lord. Lord, 1-877-920-WGNU. Ouch. Ouch. D.
Top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
Rest of the day to you.
Thank you. I've been telling you for years they've been stealing your stuff.
Right now.
And the less they like you, the more they steal it.
Oh, man.
You know, I want them to continue stealing it.
Okay.
But at least the truth will get around.
You know, I'd like...
I wish they'd give you credit.
That's what I'm talking about, D. I'd like a little credit.
That's right. Keep it up,
Doc. All right now. 1-877-920-WG and give me a little credit. Been calling that boy dumber than dumb forever, haven't I? I almost had a patent on it. When they start throwing the cheerleader stuff, I'm going to go clown somewhere in the streets of Washington, D.C. When they start throwing the cheerleader thing in there, I'm going to go clown. Stealing my stuff. Bob.
Good morning, Liz. How you feeling?
I'm feeling outstanding.
All right. I got two quick comments, Liz. Did you? President got on the TV this morning and said he don't care who it makes mad, but he knows for sure that the troops are going to be in Iraq for the remainder of his period. Did you hear him say that?
I did not hear him say that.
Well,
wait a minute. You know why he said that?
What's that?
You know why he said that? Wow. And I'm going to slow it down for those out there that don't understand technical legal language. I'm not talking about you. I know you're going to get this.
Yeah, okay.
Stuck on stupid.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
stuck
right,
on stupid.
Oh, you're right, Liz.
All
right,
right now. All right now.
All right, my next question is, I heard some different guests in your show, but Liz, where did you get that laugh from you before you signed off yesterday?
Wasn't he something?
Man, that guy was a hellcat.
Wasn't he something?
Man, I said, wow. I said, I can't wait to call Liz and ask him, where did he get him from?
Wasn't that something?
Well, okay.
All right.
Thank you, Liz.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You know, it would be all right. No, not all right. It would be dealable if we were just sitting around in the parlor chatting it up, talking about the state of the world, and each of us having different examples of how stupid George, how stupid is he? Conversations about George Bush. But the reality is that this dude has his finger on the button. The reality is that this dude is making decisions that greatly impact the quality of your life. So it's not just one of those Sunday afternoon things that you're sitting around on the front porch kicking it and having general conversations about the state of things. No. This dude has, we are at war with almost everybody that we know. And if we're not actually at war, we are fixing to go to war with everybody that we know. Everybody that George W. Bush has said is the axis of evil, we are fixing to go to war with them. How that? What the, huh? That's your diplomacy? Go to war with everybody? That's go to war with everybody? And we don't even have a draft. We are recruiting 45-year-old people in the Army. And we're lying to them to get them in. We can't even talk impressionable 17-year-old, 18-year-olds to join the Army. And George Bush is threatening to go to war with everybody we know. Everybody, he said, is the worst person on the face of the earth, the axis of evil. He's threatening to go to war with them. And for all of y'all that bought into, we're going to Iraq to bring democracy and put blue ink on the fingers of women. We're going to bring democracy to Iraq. Really? Really? First of all, the D to F student can't spell democracy, let alone understand democracy. You want my proof? You want my proof? All right, I'll give it to you. There was a New York Times article, not a million years ago, just a couple days ago, August 17th. The story talked about the alarming rise in the insurgent attacks against Americans and Iraqis. That's our forces and their forces. The number of IEDs in July was 2,625, twice as many as it was back in January. Oh, and that was when Zakawi was still prowling around. We got twice as many. How'd that work out for us? Wanted dead or alive, now what? Got him dead, now what? Oh, yeah, 2,625 IEDs, twice as many as it was when he was there. Good job, Bush. Good job. Oh, there's more. Don't you go nowhere. There is so much more. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. Westbound 270 from 367 to New Florissant looks good. Eastbound 44 at the Meraz Overpass, there's nothing to report there. Northbound 270 at 44 in Big Bend. That traffic's starting to build this hour. Eastbound 40 from 141 to 270 looks good. 40 on Chesterfield, down around Chesterfield Valley and around the Valley Park area, and 44, you can expect some fog. Other than that, no problems to report on the bridge at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the MoDOT Improvement Project. MoDOT has begun improvements that will soon make 44 smoother and safer. This will take time, so you can visit MoDOT.org before you hit the road to locate the I-44 work zones. MoDOT.org, arrive alive. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday, partly cloudy day, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high around 90. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8, the Wake Up Call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay Tuesday morning at 8 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Veronica O'Brien, your president for the St. Louis Board of Education. I would like to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This year will be one of our most exciting, with new leadership and renewed enthusiasm. Students, parents, and community, we welcome you back. Remember, education is the key to your success, and it starts on the first day of school for St. Louis Public School District, Monday, August 28th.
The members of Congress aren't the only ones up late at night. Join the Conspiracy Hunter every weeknight from 11 to 1. That's right, the decent guy Don Griffin will be flying his black helicopter under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and around the world. Tune into the Conspiracy Hunter Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban Parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alacon, President of the Cuban Parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of stock one or two. And if that's too bright, go too far.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. How's, you know what? All this smack talk about we went into Iraq for democracy purposes. I said I was alive then, and I have my proof. Story. New York Times, August 17th, story said that there's an alarming rise in insurgent attacks against American and Iraqi forces, i.e. IEDs, 2,625, twice as many as there were in January when Zakawi was still walking the earth. The last three paragraphs of this story, however, in the New York Times revealed, and this is the proof of the pudding. This is the proof of the pudding. Senior administration officials, are you ready for this? This is the quote from senior administrative officials in George W. Bush's Boy George's Army. Here's what they said for all you democracy flinging so-and-sos. We went into Iraq to bring democracy. This is the cost of democracy. How does this taste? The administration of Boy George has said, we are considering alternatives other than democracy. What could that be? Oh, I don't know. Can anybody say dictatorship? What's another alternative than democracy? Now, we know they're not going to bring communism. We know they're not going to do that. What does America do better than anything? Support to dictators. So tell me again why Saddam Hussein's on trial by America. Tell me again. Tell me again why thousands of our boys and girls have died. Tens of thousands have been messed up forever. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands injured. Arms gone. Eyes gone. Minds gone. We went in there to bring democracy or something other than democracy. If they don't get the heck up out of Dodge, and if y'all don't make them, I don't know what to do. The administration is saying that we need to consider something other than democracy as a plan in Iraq. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? This administration is dangerous in ways that we will never know, and dangerous in ways that thousands of ways that we do know. It's one thing to joke about how stupid Boy George is. It's one thing to joke about it. But Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you need to understand what the ramifications of that stupidity, what the ramifications are. You need to understand the ramifications of his stupidity. In Iraq, military officials on August 17th were quoted as saying, we need to consider something other than a democracy. as a game plan for Iraq. Oh, and if this doesn't make you want to stay under your covers and in your pajamas. Front page of USA Today. GOP, that's the Republican. The Republican poll numbers are up after the terrorist attack, a terrorist threat. It's over. Yeah, it's over. You've told folks that only have one note to sing, keep singing that note. You know how petrified you're going to be? They're going to say that your grandmama got a knife by the time this is all over with. They're going to terrorize you in ways, they're going to try to terrorize you in ways that are, they're going to have you scared of your grandmama by the time this is over. They're going to say, granny got a gun. Duck and vote Republican. We'll take the gun from granny. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, I have an observation and a question. I just read some of, I didn't buy it. I read some of Juan Williams' book, and I just found it to be simply disgusting, especially on the deal about reparations.
He's kind of a
journalism.
Huh?
Journalism.
I was
reading this book, and I just found this book to be disgusting.
I understand. I said I started to come up with a word to describe Juan Williams. No, I don't use that phrase because I think that it's lost its meaning. I think that it's really kind of just self-loathing. It really is. That's what it is for me.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I have a question. I've never seen a Secretary General of the United Nations being so besieged like Kofi Annan. What is your opinion of him?
Oh, I think that Kofi Annan is it. I would hate to have his job at this time in the world, having to navigate between an America that is the administration is occupied by George W. Bush. It's got to be the most challenging position. If you are the world's chief diplomat and the world's strongest, most moneyed military power does not believe in diplomacy and has the money to pay people out to agree with them, it's got to be a challenging place. It's got to be a challenging place. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I asked you when George Bush ran for the first term, I asked you one time, had anyone ever mentioned what his IQ was? Did you ever find that out? You told me you hadn't heard about his IQ yet, but you knew he was, you know, had a problem.
They've sealed those records.
Beg pardon?
They have sealed those records.
Well, I kept waiting for someone to say, because you can look at George Bush, Liz, anyone that just grins all the time for no reason. They have a problem. I found that out through the years in looking and judging people. He just grins and nothing's fun and he's grinning. That's stupid. Now, I want to ask you one more question, Liz. On John Renee, every time someone has been accused of any type of rape or sex crime, the first thing they do is take a DNA test. Why are they bringing this man all the way back here with all these emotions about him saying he's the one that was involved in it? Why didn't they take a DNA test as soon as he said that, Liz?
Because having him brought back to America keeps people talking about that rather than Iraq.
Well, that was the first thing they should have did. They should have ran this test before they ever brought it to the public.
You're not listening to me, Mary. Their plan is not about trying to find out who killed JonBenet. The plan is to bring him back so that Americans start talking about JonBenet and whether this guy did it or not, rather than talking about the Iraq War.
Liz, you're right on cue. That's what I figured myself, but I said, You have it right all the time. You are amazed. It's amazing how you figure things out and how you bring things to us that sometimes people don't be thinking, and you bring it out, and it comes right. It comes true.
Thanks for your call, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, folks, we're taking a break. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
News update. Dateline Beijing. Sources indicate the Chinese government is interested in purchasing or leasing a former Air Force base in San Antonio, Texas, to be used as a shipping hub for goods coming into the United States. The former Kelly Air Force Base was closed 11 years ago in a base reduction move. It has an 11,000-foot airstrip plus rail links and is in close proximity to several interstate highways. This would give the Chinese a direct access to Interstate 35, which is destined to become part of the Supermax Highway project that's going to link Canada to Mexico. The San Antonio Port Authority now owns the former base and has already constructed two huge warehouses on the property to attract business. And Dateline Norfolk. An American sailor has been arrested on charges of selling highly classified information about a nuclear attack submarine to a number of unidentified countries. He is identified as Petty Officer 3rd Class Ariel Weinman. There is reason to believe the secrets were delivered not only to Russia, but Israel as well. A naval source says this could turn out to be one of the worst cases of espionage since intelligence analyst Jonathan Pollard was caught giving secrets to Israel 20 years ago. This guy deserted his post from the attack submarine Albuquerque in July and was finally located just this past March at the airport in Dallas, Texas. He was in possession of about $4,000 in cash at the time. Investigators say they have found computer files and a notebook that revealed top secret information about his submarine. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay, Tuesday morning at 8, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alacon, the president of the Cuban Parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alarcón, President of the Cuban Parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Marilyn.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning.
I would like to know, can you tell me why my tax dollars are being wasted on security guards for Veronica O'Brien?
Well, Veronica O'Brien has been, you told the, you, okay, you, Veronica O'Brien is being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is important that when people are threatened and they are in positions that require leadership, I don't think it's a bad idea to provide them with security guards. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. If you were being threatened and the law was not doing anything about it, what would you do?
Well, I sure couldn't afford security guards.
That's what, okay, you couldn't afford security guards, but the business that you're working for, they could afford security guards, and you're being threatened because of your position on that business. What would you ask of that business? What would you ask?
Well, I don't know if the business could supply security guards.
Yeah, well, if the business could supply security guards, and I mean, just think about it. You're working
I don't think they could.
Well, okay, but if they could, would you? And remember, you're not even getting paid for this gig.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you were at a place where you were volunteering your services, and as a result of you volunteering your services, your life has been threatened. Your kids' lives have been threatened. People have come to your home and trespass on your ground, threatening you. What would you do? What would you demand? You had two choices. You can quit your job. You could quit this volunteer position. But if you thought the volunteer position was important and that you were doing important work, what would you demand? What would your husband demand?
Can something be done about the people who are threatening her?
Well, one of the things to do is to protect her from them and have security guards there so that they can't get close to her. And with respect to people, whether or not that there is truth or not to the threats that have been pointed at Demetrius and at Floyd Irons, I can tell you from my own personal experience, when I was working with the community, I was personally threatened by both of them. So do I believe it? Of course I do, because I have experienced it personally. So I understand completely, and understand this, you are a woman volunteering for some. You're not getting paid for this, and as a result of you doing this, people are threatening your lives. What would you demand? What would your husband demand? What would your sons and daughters demand? That you be protected, wouldn't they? Hello?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah, I'm here.
I mean, I hear a whine. I mean, your tone of your voice is odd, but for a very obvious question, what would you demand?
The tone of my voice is odd.
Yeah, you just sound hesitant. I mean, and I don't understand why you would be hesitant about it, such an easy question.
I just don't understand.
What don't you understand? Tell me what you don't understand.
She just seems to be a psycho person. She really does. She curses children out.
Oh, please.
She called them unkempt.
Oh, please. 1-877-920, and you lied about what you were coming on the air to talk about, too. totally dishonest person. You are a totally dishonest person. 1-877-920-WGNU. Lied to Howard to get on the air. Said, I won't talk about Bush. Liar. 1-877-920-WGNU. Craig.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, I did call to talk about George Bush, but hearing about the school board kind of take all the sales, you know, the wind out of the sail on that, because that's so immediate here at home, you know. I don't know, Liz. It just seems like, because I know Demetrius, and I really believe that he cares about the kids, too. I don't understand it all, Liz. It's really perplexing for me, and it makes me feel uneasy, because I know that how much you care about the kids, and I know he cares about the kids. It's really...
Well, we would disagree, but I have no intention of spending my show talking about some dumb jock with a little mic. Let's move on to the issues that matter in our community.
All right, then. Could I talk about Bush now?
Let's talk about it.
All right. I wanted to say that before 9/11, I wish I could get the rolls of film from, like, the Tonight Show and all those other shows.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
they talked about Bush like a dog, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they saw how stupid he was and all this.
Mm-hmm.
But after 9/11, all of a sudden, he was the commander-in-chief.
And they got scared. What did he get, a shot of intellect? You know, do they have some kind of pills out there that make you no longer make you stupid? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, they got scared. Everybody got scared. They rallied around the flag. They rallied around this so-called democracy. And now the same administration that made people rally around the democracy is now saying, well, we're going to have to try something else besides democracy in Iraq. Then what the heck were we there for?
Yeah. Oh, and Liz, you know, one other person who's got the same type of the mayor of New York, Giuliani, he was a washed-up has-been.
Still is. Still is. Got a roll, Craig. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to co-sign on what you were talking to the young lady about. I was there also when your life was threatened. So she's one of those persons who really doesn't know what's going on, who is out of touch with everything that's going on in the city of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Demetrius Johnson, he couldn't even handle his business in the Manchester School District.
Fact. When his baby was...
Why is he coming here messing up stuff?
Fact. And here's something low down that happened. Floyd Irons went and got babies out of school, put them on a bus to take them over to another jurisdiction to hoop and holler for that man. They took our babies out, and no parents were contacted. Those babies, if anything had happened to them, the district would have been responsible for them because they didn't care about those babies learning. They cared about using those babies for their issues. Nonsense.
And as far as Floyd Irons, I know the question has not been raised or it might be in the back of somebody's mind, but the young man that was killed last week, all of that is just it just comes up all of a sudden.
The baby that was getting ready to go file a case against Floyd Irons in federal court turns up killed.
So like you
killed.
Hang out with dogs, you get up with fleas, you're hanging with gangsters and riffraff. This is what I see in Floyd Irons.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Korean vet, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Brown, I've got to find out where you keep your crystal ball, because when you give out something one day, I wake up the next day and see it on TV.
Now.
And I'll let you go. I mean, I got so much to say, but you're right on point.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break, folks. We're going to be coming back and talking about, we're going to be talking to the folks from Cuba. Y'all been told about what's going on in Cuba? No. Let's talk to them. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not
is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
He doesn't have any idea or understanding of the breadth and depth of it, and I think he's afraid.
Jamie Harmon was John Mark Carr's lawyer before he left the U.S. for Thailand and before he claimed he strangled JonBenet Ramsey. Harmon won't be in court today with Carr when he appears in L.A., first court appearance in the U.S. since he was arrested last week, nor for that matter is any attorney expected to be with him.
We are being told that Mark Carr will be representing himself during those proceedings and that he plans to waive his right to extradition. That means he could be transferred to Boulder within the next couple of days. In the meantime, he is resting in a Los Angeles County jail while authorities in Boulder still continue to question his confession.
ABC's Wendy Birch in L.A. Some of the suspects in a failed British plot to bomb U.S.-bound airliners went before a judge today.
A police escort led a high-security convoy carrying 11 suspects, including the mother of a young baby, for the first court hearing since being charged. Of the 11 suspected plotters, 8 are accused of conspiracy to murder and preparing acts of terrorism. A further 3 are accused of other terrorist offenses. Deputy Assistant Police Commissioner Peter Clark.
Inquiries will span the globe. The enormity of the alleged plot will be matched only by our determination to follow every lead.
Police have so far found bomb-making equipment and martyrdom videos. The police now have until tomorrow to charge 11 other suspects still in custody. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
A prison inmate in Athens, Georgia, who tried to escape by grabbing a deputy's gun and shooting the officer inside a courthouse, has died. The inmate, Timothy Jones, was taken to a nearby hospital. The deputy was listed in good condition after he underwent surgery last night. Was it a civics lesson or was it a lesson in civil disobedience? A Kentucky middle school teacher thought it was the former. Dan Holden burned 2 American flags and asked his 7th grade class to write about it. Some parents complained, though, and now Holden has been removed from the classroom while the matter is investigated. This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. You traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Are you looking for an investment that should keep increasing in value? You might want to think of the Old West. Here's ABC's Chuck Stevenson.
What's as good or better than this? It's increasing in value 15 to 20% a year, better than Wall Street, according to Dave Wilson, who ran a weekend Northwest Soiree event on Idaho's Coeur d'Alene Indian Reservation. It's all sorts of Western memorabilia. He says TV shows like Antiques Roadshow help, as well as eBay auctions on the Internet. Western movie posters, silver pistols, and China with bucking broncos are popular.
Oh, you gotta try and stop me.
You bet I am.
People are fighting for all they can get. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Here's another reason to get where you're going when you travel as quickly as you can. A Dutch study says riding for more than 4 hours, be it in a plane, bus, car, or train, can increase your risk of getting a blood clot. If you're tall, obese, or you're taking birth control pills, your risk is even higher. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the disappearance of a 5-year-old Pine Lawn girl was blamed on a simple miscommunication. A Sarah alert was issued for Nadia Lewis last night after her grandmother went to pick her up from school and she wasn't there. Nadia was later found at home with her mother. Pine Lawn Police Captain Ricky Collins says the Sarah alert system helped bring the search to a quick end.
He was able to get relatives who normally we didn't have information to contact. They did some legwork for us. They provided information on the new residency of the mom.
Collins says Nadia's mother picked her up from school after working a double shift, then took her home and went to sleep. Police hadn't been able to reach her because her new home doesn't have a phone. The superintendent of the St. Charles School District is dead. Dr. James Kale died yesterday after a long battle with leukemia. Kale took over as superintendent in 2004 and oversaw the reorganization of the district, which is set to close two elementary schools after this school year. Assistant Superintendent Dr. Kim Harding will be the district's interim superintendent. Kale was 50. St. Louis County health officials report the county's first human case of the West Nile virus this season. A 37-year-old North County man was treated for the mosquito-transmitted illness at a hospital last week. Officials say the county is spraying for mosquitoes, but residents can help prevent the virus by getting rid of standing water and using insect repellent. Police across the state are stepping up enforcements looking for drunk drivers. The You Drink, You Drive, You Lose campaign runs through Labor Day and is meant to take intoxicated drivers off the roads. Lieutenant Patrick Hawkins of the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department says driving under the influence can cost someone their life and can cost you your freedom. Finally this hour, the majority whip of the U.S. Senate is supporting Senator Jim Talent in his bid for re-election. Senator Mitch McConnell says there's a big difference between Talent and State Auditor Claire McCaskill on issues from gas prices to the cost of prescription drugs. He says Talent is a center-right candidate and McCaskill has taken many far-left positions. The Senate race between Talent and McCaskill is expected to be one of the most heated in the country. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for the new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. Northbound 55 at Loughborough, there's an accident. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic is slowing near Lindbergh. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to Graham Hanley, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall, stop and go. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, heavy volume going on there. And you have westbound 5570 on the Illinois 203 to the Canal Bridge. Look for stop and go. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as the King Bridge and Eads Bridge, expect delays going into downtown this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT has begun improvements that will soon make I-44 smoother and safer. This will take time, so visit MoDOT.org. Before you hit the road to locate the I-44 work zones, MoDOT.org, arrive alive. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 90 today, mostly clear this evening with a low around the upper 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high around 90, and Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. There are all kinds of stories on the front pages of newspapers in America this morning and all across the world, actually. They talk about the war in Iraq. They talk about the pursuit of terrorists. They talk about Iran. They talk about Lebanon. But at the heart of all of those stories about what's going on all over the world, at the heart of every story is American foreign policy, is this administration's foreign policy. And one of the stories that is also embedded in or on the front pages of newspapers all across the world is the story of what is happening in Cuba. And like every other story that involves, every other story on the front page, every other story that involves another nation, embedded in that story is the policy, the foreign policy of George W. Bush and those he surrounds himself with. To hear the tale told in Miami, the streets were filled with celebration upon the news of the state of Fidel Castro. We had people and a government, an administration, almost celebratory in this. We need to find out what is the state. What is the state of Fidel Castro? We need to talk about his brother, Raul Castro, acting president Raul Castro. And we need to talk about Cuba from a perspective that is rarely taken on in the media in this country. We need to talk about Cuba from people who actually live in Cuba. And this morning we are very privileged to have with us the president of the Cuban Parliament, Ricardo Alarcón. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. Are you?
I am very good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We have a couple of minutes before we have to go to break here. Can you just give us a summary of how President Castro is doing right now?
He's doing quite well, I would say. He's in the process of after surgery recovery, but very alert. He can talk, he can write, he can follow what's going on around him. We haven't provided the daily reports about his health, about his performance and so on, because all those news have to be put in a, into context. As you said, in Miami there were people celebrating his sickness or his problems. In Washington you have a government that has said that he should not be in power, that the U.S. will is working to hasten his end, and is saying who should be or should not be replacing him down here. Then for us it's a matter of national security and independence. That's why we do not give daily reports, and after all he's not a performing arts person, he's a political militant, and but he's fine. He's simply recovering from a serious surgery operation.
And in terms of the nature of the surgery and the nature of the illness, can we talk about that when we come back? Because we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to the I'm talking to the president of the Cuban Parliament, Ricardo Alarcón. He's joining us from Havana, Cuba. We're talking about Fidel Castro. We're talking about Cuba. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
I'm Controller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay Tuesday morning at 8 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? Remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I am talking to the president of the Cuban Parliament. He's joining us from Havana, Cuba, Richard Alarcón. Good morning. Good morning and welcome back. Do we know the nature of the illness that President Castro is in hospitalized for?
Well, we promised to publish at the right time a full report with all the data about what happened and so on. It appears he had some intestinal bleeding, and it appears that it came out of stress coming in the after many weeks of very hard work, and for example, on the on July the 26th, this man of 80 years delivered two speeches in two different towns in eastern Cuba under a very hard summer that we are having down here. And you know what happens? We have a president that is a rather strange person. He's a working individual. He has been working his entire life. He works a lot. Everybody that knows him have testified that he have very little sleep, and he's constantly involved doing things by himself. And combined with age, notwithstanding his fabulous health, someday had to show in unfortunately, in this manner. Apparently, stress due to very hard work and the tensions that are associated with the responsibilities that he is performing.
How do the people of Cuba, how have they responded to Fidel Castro handing over the role of president to his brother Raul? How have the people responded to that? Is there anything that we can see in terms of how people have responded to that?
If you look at the big media reports about Cuba, they have had to recognize that the situation down here is completely calm, stable, that all those terrific news coming from Washington and Miami that revolt, upheaval would take place here is the opposite. Of course, you can sense, especially at the beginning when the news came, concern, sadness, is a person that is very much loved by his people. That's the only explanation of why this little country, very, very small if you compare it with the United States, has been resisting for almost half a century of economic embargo, of political isolation, of attempts to undermine our society. If those plans had not succeeded, it's for a very simple reason. The people in Cuba have found a leader that deserves their love and their affection and their confidence.
Do you think that Fidel Castro, do you think that he takes a certain amount of satisfaction in outliving all of these presidents that have attempted to remove him from office? You think that there's some satisfaction in that?
Well, I don't think that the exact word satisfaction, but I think that he, not only he, but us, the Cuban people, are proud of our independence, of our the way we have finally succeeded to gain that independence after a whole century of struggle, first against Spanish colonialism, then U.S. intervention, and so on and so forth. But that doesn't lead us to a chauvinistic attitude. We are not better than anybody else. We are just a small country with a handful of people that have been striving for a long time to exercise fundamental rights. Two things that concern us: our independence and the right to develop a society of our own based on human solidarity, equality, justice, and so on and so forth. And we have succeeded. To a certain extent, of course, we are proud of that and we are satisfied. Although it continues to be a fighting situation.
In terms of the presidents and the administrations that Cuba has been confronted with since Fidel Castro became president, how would you describe the current administration, George W. Bush's administration? Is it more problematic? Is it more of a fight? Are there more concerns that you have with this administration, or is it the same as dealing with the Kennedy administration or Bill Clinton's administration?
No, definitely, we are facing the worst. This administration has, in a very provocative and irresponsible manner, maintained, proclaimed, and repeated a completely irrational approach. Just remember that on July the 10th, President Bush approved a report on Cuba that clearly, openly claims to be working to, I would use the exact title of the chapter in question, hastening the end of the Cuban Revolution. And in that document that he approved, they include what they refer to as a secret annex. Then there are measures that they are taking to punish people who travel to Cuba, including religious organizations. Some of them have already been fined or threatened with even to go to court, to be sent to court to criminalize that action. They talk openly of spending millions of dollars in trying to undermine Cuban society by trying to organize groups that would work against the Cuban institutions inside of Cuba, and many other things.
Well, I'm looking at a report now, President. I'm looking at a report that the United States has named a special manager for the intelligence operations against Cuba and Venezuela. And they said that the purpose of this is to integrating collection and analysis on Cuba and Venezuela across the intelligence community and, quote, ensuring the implementation of strategies that have not been disclosed. What do you make of the significance of having a special manager for intelligence operations against Cuba and Venezuela?
Well, that's just the very last piece of this long story. But what about having a coordinator for Cuba, being Mr. McCaleb, that was appointed by Bush? Remember that was the title given to Mr. Brenner after the U.S. invaded Iraq. Well, now they have already appointed the coordinator for Cuba's transition already. They have not yet invaded Cuba, but they have already that position in Washington. And of course, it doesn't surprise me that they also have a special guy to coordinate intelligence and so on. That's why I said that this administration is the worst in terms of an aggressive policy regarding Cuba, because it's more openly, more provocative in the way they present it. Very arrogant, I would say, because they proclaim openly what they are doing, and you gave the very last example.
And I am talking to the president of the Cuban Parliament, Ricardo Alarcón. He is joining us from Havana, Cuba. This is Liz Brown. We are talking about President Fidel Castro. We're talking about Cuba. Stay with us as we continue our conversation after this break.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffees. Northbound 55 at Loughborough, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked. Traffic's getting backed up through Lindbergh this hour. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry. And Graham Hanley expects slow traffic. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44 at Stop and Go. Eastbound 70, from K to 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from Illinois 203 to the Canal Bridge. Look for Stop and Go traffic. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as the East Bridge and King Bridge, expect delays as you're moving into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is bolder, smoother, and more robust, and it's made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste it for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 90 today. Mostly clear, low in the upper 60s this evening. Partly cloudy, high around 90 for Wednesday. And mostly clear, sunny, with a high in the lower 90s on Thursday. Currently, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 70 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay Tuesday morning at 8 here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me this morning. I am talking to the president of the Cuban Parliament, Ricardo Alarcón. He's joining us from Havana, Cuba. We're talking about Cuba. We're talking about Fidel Castro. And, President, welcome back. I'd like to talk to you about Cuba. If there were, what would you tell, what do you believe are the things that most Americans don't know about living in Cuba, the quality of life of living in Cuba, the what life is like living in Cuba? What don't Americans know?
Well, if Americans were permitted to visit Cuba freely, as is our wish, but it's something that has been forbidden for half a century. They would discover a different kind of society that responds to our history, our culture, our way of looking at things. It's a right of any individual, of any nation, precisely to self-determination, to develop by its own, and they will discover a society based on very strong feeling of human equality and human solidarity. That was the way that nation was founded more than a century and a half ago. A nation that came from slavery, a nation that came from five centuries of foreign domination, colonialism, and so on. And through those years, we developed like a different mentality and an aspiration to build a new world, to conquer a new world, based on those premises that human beings are equal and they should and can work together to improve their lives. Of course, it's a poor country by comparison, poor in material terms, but they would discover a country where healthcare is free and universal for everybody, where education is free and universal for everybody, even in the most remote mountains of the country. Every child has his school with his computer, with his TV set, and his teacher. And we are proud of that, of having been able to build with our own hands a society that we do not pretend should be imposed to anybody else, but it is our right to develop. Because we do not belong to anybody else. We are not anymore a colony of foreign power.
And in terms of the race issues, I think that many people would maybe surprised to know that we have the same racism issues in Cuba that we have in America, or the same challenges with racism that we have in America. I know that there is a poem that is required reading by at least to kids in secondary schools. I have the poem by Nicholas Gillian.
Exactly. I have what I have to have.
Yes, I have what I have to have. But there's still a struggle, is there not, between the Afro-Cubans and the issue of race? You still have that challenge in Cuba.
We still have to fight. Well, of course, at the level of the, of consciousness, is something that you cannot decree that everybody love each other and so on. We have advanced a lot. We have a very mixed society. I am supposed to be a white Cuban, but I have black members of my family because some members of my family married. That is, this interracial marriage is something very common, more common as time goes by. But the most fundamental thing, in our opinion, and it's something on which Fidel Castro personally has involved himself very much, is fighting the sequels, the consequences. The black population of Cuba, those who came from Africa, were slaves, were enslaved for generations. And you cannot expect to have, just to proclaim equality, formal equality by law. No, but if you come from a family of middle class white Cubans, you have an advantage over those who came from a very humble family whose grandfathers were slaves. Here I have many friends who were born in Cuba, their fathers also, but their grandfathers, all of them, were brought from Africa productive objects, as slaves. Then that's something that you have to work against, to overcome, recognizing that, We have many programs that are based on that premise. You in America used to refer to such sort of actions as affirmative actions. So it's not just recognizing the injustice and the illegality of discrimination, but acting specifically to correct what history made wrong.
So what are some of the programs that have been put in place in Cuba to correct the sins of enslavement? What are we doing? What is Fidel Castro doing?
Well, we have, for example, you have, as in every society, you have, for example, young people that do not follow school or work, they are not as well trained as others, and so on. He has promoted a specific program, for example, of to incorporate all those who are idle, paying a salary to them to study, and now we have at this moment tens of thousands of social workers that were a few years ago like abandoned children or teenagers that were not doing something productive in the society and so on. They were in that position as a consequence, as a result of coming from a depressed background, let's say. But you can organize them and help them to overcome those consequences. Another program, for example, to have university centers at the prison system in Cuba. That may sound a little bit surreal, but we have now at this moment people in jail that are studying foreign languages or studying engineers or law or medicine or whatever. To recognize that they have that right, that if somebody end in a prison because it committed a so-called crime, that in the final analysis has a social explanation, as its origin is destitution, and in other words, not to confine yourself with rhetoric, with words, but to go after the specific problems that specific human beings face. It's a long road, has been a long road, but the important thing is to pursue that consistently.
And in terms of how young people are responding to this, oftentimes in societies when we have these challenges, the push for change often comes from younger people. I know that you all have, rap has also made it to Cuba. And there are a lot of the young rappers there are singing about, and there are even songs that are about the challenges that confront dark skin and light skin in Cuba. How do the young people respond to the issue of the challenges of race?
Well, fortunately, I think that what would instruct you, any visitor to Cuba, is that precisely the younger generations are more free from those vestiges of the old racist society than the older one. What I was referring to regarding interracial marriage and so on is by far more common as you go down in the age scale. I think that young people do not have any feelings of a child does not recognize so-called race. And if a child is accustomed to go to school together, to share the same parks, the same playgrounds, they would never they would never realize that they were, that they are different. And no, we're absolutely optimistic. You may find, we're referring to at the beginning, I recognize that there are still racial prejudices. I was just thinking in the oldest generations of Cubans. That's Miami, by the way. That's why you have a 99% white immigration.
They're also allowed to, when they fill out their forms, to say they are white. When they come in, they are defined as white people. The Cubans that come in to Miami.
Who come in?
When they fill out their forms. When they fill out their forms, they are identified as white.
No, of course.
Yes.
They are definitely, and while here is the opposite. We identify ourselves as Cubans, as Nicolas Guillén, that wonderful poet, a black person, and the most recognized poet for Cubans.
And we have I'm sorry.
He referred to Cuban color.
And we have to take a break.
He referred to colors not white or black, but Cuban.
Cuban color.
It's another color. It's a result of history and the evolution of our society.
And we have, President.
Always long for that color.
And President, we have to take a break. I'm talking to the President of Cuban of the Cuban Parliament, Ricardo Alarcón. He's joining us from Havana, Cuba. I'll be back.
Is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call Philip Person Roofing. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The Pentagon has put together a rather secret analysis of the geopolitical climate in Latin America and the Caribbean, with the main theme being how to continue to gain access to oil resources in that part of the world. The U.S. gets 35% of its oil from that region, and over 40% of U.S. exports are sold there too. America has always felt it could exercise influence in that part of the world because of the Monroe Doctrine. It's widely known that the U.S. conducted covert operations to eliminate opposition in a number of countries in that region in order to promote national security and democracy. But Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has apparently struck a chord with a number of neighbors by making them realize they do have significant power to be independent from American domination because of the critical global oil supply. This has become apparent with the election of officials in Ecuador and Bolivia who have openly expressed dissatisfaction with U.S. policies. The report, crafted by the Southern Command of the Pentagon, examines what responses would be appropriate should America become shut out from oil in that part of the world. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing, People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay, Tuesday morning at 8, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Flew like a butterfly, sting like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even here. No one else want it. If I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking this hour to the President of the Cuban Parliament. He is joining us from Havana, Cuba, Richard Alacon. And President Alacon, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the perceptions and understandings that Americans have of Cubans. Some Americans believe that Cuban citizens have to watch a certain type of television, have to listen to a certain type of radio, can only read certain types of newspapers. What kind of access do Cuban citizens have towards the media?
Well, we have our own media that we develop by ourselves and that reflects our reality and our feelings. Talking about perceptions, the Americans may believe, many Americans, that they enjoy the best of freedoms, but how many Americans know that your country is holding in prison now for 8 years, five Cubans that were there fighting U.S.-sponsored terrorists against Cuba? I listened to one of the ads while waiting for continue our conversation. Many Americans will be surprised to know who is really in charge in the government in your country. Then you have a country that is involved in a so-called war against terrorism, but at the same time is harboring very well-known terrorists in Miami that even proclaim in the local media their actions, and nobody goes after them. They go after half a dozen African Americans in Miami, allegedly because they were involved in a plot and so on, but they were poor people, black people, without weapons and so on. And the same day, in the local Miami TV, there was a white Cuban millionaire recognizing that he has spent millions of dollars in buying weapons to promote terrorist actions in Cuba, and the FBI didn't ask him any question. When you have, for example, those very rare reference to our Cuban five that were arrested in Miami 8 years ago, they would refer them as all people that are considering Cuba as heroes. But they never tell Americans that they were declared national heroes by Angola, by Namibia, by South Africa. Why? Because as very young men, They went there to Angola, as thousands of Cubans did, to fight the apartheid regime. They were so-called white Cubans, but they sacrificed their lives for the freedom of Africa. And then the Africans, they were the ones who described them as heroes, not just the Cuba. How many Americans are permitted to know that? Why you don't have find a front page story in any daily or a TV network story about them? Not even one, never in 8 years. Cubans know better, probably, about the real world than millions of Americans. It's not the fault of Americans, of course. It's the result of a system in which information is controlled by big corporations.
America also spends millions of dollars in an attempt to beam radio shows to Cuba. How do Cubans feel about that? And what is the position of the government on America spending these many millions of dollars? It's my understanding that this administration has recently appropriated $10 million for a plane to attempt to shoot a radio signal from Miami to Cuba.
For us, it's really, we laugh, because nobody has ever seen, ever, never, any image from that TV station that it is broadcast from the airplane and so on. For us, it's a laughable, but at the same time, a very sad thing, because it appears as the America is so rich that you can waste. Well, the government is wasting your money, taxpayers' money.
But doesn't it also...
To do something that doesn't make sense.
But doesn't it also serve a purpose, President, of paying? Because the people that program this television show and these radio shows, the people that are in these shows, the people that work for these shows, are the Cubans, the white Cubans, that are living in the Miami area. So it does help in that perspective to pay them.
No, of course. Of course, you are paying, you are financing the American people for doing a senseless kind of job. You have for many years that was created by President Reagan in the 80s. That you have, of course, technicians, you have talk shows, you have artists that are paid. And of course, a broadcasting board, a U.S. broadcasting board, and so on, that have very, very good, juicy salaries, at the expense of the American people, to do something that really only serves the Miami right wingers. And of course, they are very happy because they have gotten millions of dollars over years, but they can assure you. And so many independent journalists, many foreign correspondents have always said the same. The other day, somebody asked the CNN correspondent here in Havana about the same question you asked me. And he said, I haven't found one person in this country that has ever seen those programs. It's simply an invisible TV. It's very irrational. Coming from a country that at the same time, I suspect, have other areas in which money is needed. Ask the Katrina victims if they would have not needed some federal help instead of spending money in trying to overthrow a government of a foreign country.
And one last thought here, President. Did Cuba attempt to help after Katrina last year? And how was Cuba responded to?
We offer our help. It's out of a natural disposition. It's part of our philosophical approach to life. Unfortunately, the team that was prepared to go to help the Katrina victims was not accepted. Then they went to Pakistan. They spent months in Kashmir helping our brothers and sisters down there. that suffer from a terrible earthquake. And that's a problem, at least, because we are again back in a hurricane season. Mm. We will have a hurricane season every year. Let's build human solidarity and brotherhood instead of those irrational policies that only serve the interest of some minority that have enriched themselves at the expense of the poor.
And that has to be the final word. President Ricardo Alarcón, thank you so much for joining me on my radio show this morning.
Thank you very much. I enjoy it, Lisa. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you again, sir. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A Russian passenger jet is on the ground in the Ukraine, and it is on fire now. The passenger jet had 170 people on board when it disappeared from radar screens. After sending an SOS message earlier today, and initially emergency officials said they thought it might have crashed, the plane was on its way back from a Black Sea resort to St. Petersburg when it disappeared from the radar screens in Ukraine, and now officials say that plane is on the ground and it is on fire. 170 people aboard. John Mark Carr could be in Boulder, Colorado in a matter of days, but first, the man who claims he strangled JonBenet Ramsey must face a judge in Los Angeles.
The hearing likely won't last very long. He'll be advised of his rights and asked if he'll go to Colorado willingly. Carr's former attorney, Patience Van Zandt, met with him yesterday. She says he's terrified.
He's been overwhelmed with law enforcement officials and the media. He's traveled halfway around the world. He's gotten very little sleep.
She says despite his comments in Bangkok that he did not confess. A public defender is expected to be with him in court today. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Eight of the suspects in a failed British plot to bomb U.S.-bound airliners appeared before a judge today in London. They are now officially charged with terrorism. 11 more are being detained, but not yet charged. Iran gave itself until the end of the month to respond to a U.N. package of incentives to stop building its nukes program, and it's answering ahead of time later today.
What the Western nations are demanding of Iran is an end to uranium enrichment, the process that creates fuel for both civilian nuclear power and for weapons. In return, Iran was offered economic sweeteners, including new channels for trade with the West.
ABC's Ann Compton in Washington. Forecasters are watching a tropical depression that's drenching the southernmost Cape Verde Islands. They expect the system to strengthen and take a turn to the northwest in the next 12 hours. It could become Tropical Storm Debbie. This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
He could be the world's oldest bartender, and he is nowhere ready to retire, but this week he'll be the guest of honor at a big party.
Everyone says Hoi Wong looks a lot younger than 90. He was born in Hong Kong and came to America when he was 24. He's been bartending in New York for 58 years, 27 of them at the legendary Oak Room in the equally legendary Algonquin Hotel. Mr. Hoi, as he's known, has served drinks to a galaxy of stars, from Marilyn Monroe to Anthony Quinn to Danny Kaye and Judy Garland. What's his secret to a long life? Healthy living and a relaxed attitude. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Well, the experts say that the American dream is eluding more of us, but somehow many of us are buying homes sooner and more often than our parents and our grandparents did. Realtor Coldwell Banker says over half of all Americans who make at least $75,000 a year have bought at least one home by the time they're 40. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a St. Louis woman is dead after a fiery chain reaction accident. The Missouri Highway Patrol says a tractor-trailer rear-ended 30-year-old Tawana Gilliard's car around 8 a.m. yesterday on southbound I-270 near Dorset. Gilliard's car and the tractor-trailer caught fire. Gilliard was pronounced dead at the scene. Three other vehicles were involved in the chain reaction crash, but no one else suffered life-threatening injuries. Three suspects are charged in the theft of an armored car last week in Farmington. Eugene Ford, his daughter Leanne Ford, and her boyfriend Scott McKinnon are charged with first-degree robbery and stealing. The three allegedly stole the armored car on Friday while it was stopped at a mobile gas station. An effort to overturn Missouri's new voter ID law will be back in front of a judge next month. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay, St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley, and the ACLU are among the opponents of the new requirement for Missouri voters to bring a photo ID to the polls. Bert Newman, an attorney for the ACLU of Eastern Missouri, says a hearing yesterday was an important first step toward getting the requirement thrown out.
Ultimately, we expect that one way or another, the Missouri Supreme Court will weigh in on this issue, and we're confident that there'll be a finding that this new law is unconstitutional, not only under the Hancock Amendment, but on our other claims that have been raised in the case.
Opponents of the voter ID law say it harms low-income, minority, elderly, and disabled voters. Judge Richard Callahan has put off making a ruling until September 7th when he wants to resume hearings. St. Louis County public health officials are warning residents not to handle bats. Eight rabid bats have been found in South and West County this summer. The bats have been picked up in Chesterfield, Webster Groves, Eureka, Clayton, Afton, and the Baldwin area. Any county resident who finds a live or dead bat in their home is asked to confine it in the room where it's found and then call the health department. Finally this hour, all free nations have a fundamental right to defend themselves when they're attacked. That's according to Governor Matt Blunt, who proclaimed his support for Israel in St. Louis yesterday. Blunt says he doesn't normally issue proclamations on foreign policy matters. He says the show of support is important because of Missouri's large Jewish population and the serious nature of the situation. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for the new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips and spicy chipotle sauce is breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by New Advil PM. Northbound 55 between 270 and Union. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Southbound 270 at Dorset and Page. There's an accident. Left lane's blocked. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to Graham Hanley. Expect slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through 44, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes, Mid-Rivers Mall, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Lindbergh, very slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 in the Canal Bridge, stop-and-go traffic. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the King Bridge and the Eads Bridge. You can expect delays rolling into downtown at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by New Advil PM. Aches and pains keeping you up? Big news, New Advil PM is here. The multi-pain, pain-relieving power of Advil Plus, a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy today, high around 90 this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high around 90, and Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 70 degrees, so does Lambert Field. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never tell you the progress that Gene made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is former Congressman Paul Finley. He's joining us from Jacksonville, Illinois. We're here, it seems appropriate, we are here while the UN is attempting to patch together a network of, a group of reluctant peacekeepers, to put at the border of Lebanon. We are here after this government sat on its hands while thousands and thousands of Lebanese people had their homes and their bridges and their infrastructure bombed out of existence. While Condoleezza Rice wasn't quite as bad as she was during Katrina. She wasn't in New York seeing plays and buying $1,200 shoes. She seemed to be nevertheless just as ineffective. We need to talk about why. We need to talk about why. Who would this government do it? Who is it doing it on behalf of? And how we are impacted by that. And to facilitate that conversation, former Congressman Paul Finley, Jacksonville, Illinois, is going to join us this morning. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Haven't met you, but I have enjoyed the few words I've just heard.
Well, thank you, and thank you for joining the show this morning.
You must be from South St. Louis. You have a southern accent.
No, I'm not from St. Louis at all.
Oh.
not from St. Louis at all. But I'd love to talk to you about something that I have seen, I have observed. It seems that many people in our government have a relationship that seems that anybody that challenges this relationship is kind of like treated like Ned Lamont was after beating Joe Lieberman, that it is sacrosanct. You cannot challenge the relationship that our government has with Israel.
That is so true. You have spoken a book full of wisdom right there. It is off limits. Israel is sacrosanct. It's like the hot third rail in politics. No one is willing to have a civilized discussion about the relationship of Israel with our government, and we have paid an enormous price for that reluctance. It's not good for Israel, not good for Judaism. It's certainly not good for the American people and our great tradition and our great institutions of government.
It seems like this loyalty is a fearful, blind loyalty.
It's not an affectionate affectionate loyalty, that has to be said and understood.
What do you mean by
it's
that?
It's more fear than affection.
Mm.
There are a lot of people in Congress, as well as elsewhere in the country, who have a deep, abiding affection for Judaism, for the state that presents itself as the home for Jews. But that that affection doesn't reach very far.
Mm.
Most of the people of our country, and not just politicians, not just the people on Capitol Hill, not just the people in the White House, are really afraid to voice even a critical syllable about the state of Israel for fear they'll be tagged as anti-Semitic.
And we're going to continue our conversation. Former Congressman Paul Finley, Republican, from joining us from Jacksonville, Illinois. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. We will be back after these words.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning my conversation is about the influence of Israel and our government and our politics. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Jacksonville, Illinois, former Congressman, former Republican Congressman Paul Finley. And Congressman, can we talk about Cynthia McKinney?
Sure.
I read an article about how Cynthia McKinney's primary runoff opponent had tapped into the pro-Israel fundraising network. Talk to us about that network. Talk to us about Cynthia McKinney and why her opponent, her primary runoff opponent, would have been able to do that.
Well, Cynthia McKinney, as of last year, was the only voice that was consistently speaking out on behalf of the human rights of Palestinians. That really set her apart from the rest of the membership of the House. There are a few others who occasionally will speak up for Palestinian human rights, but Cynthia was really the only one who would do it in a sustained way,
and in a fearless way,
without hesitation.
And if I can just interrupt just for a second, when you describe the actions of Cynthia McKinney, was she able to get pro-Palestinian legislation passed? Was she able to get pro-Palestinian money sent to the Palestinians? What she did simply speaking on behalf of the Palestinian people?
Well, excuse me, I don't know whether she was able to get money to them, but I'm sure she urged that and would be glad if it did succeed.
I mean,
her words were mostly words, mm-hmm. as are most of the words voiced on Capitol Hill. But they can motivate people, they can energize those who seek a change in basic policy, and she was unique. It wasn't just the Palestinian cause that she would speak fearlessly about. She questioned the origin of the 9/11 attack. She's not a bit sure that we've had all the facts about that dreadful day and what was behind it. She was willing to raise questions and seek answers, and she stepped on a lot of toes. She, I'm sure, said things that bothered President Bush very deeply. I'm sure he's glad that she's out of the Congress. But she, I think, played an important part. We need people who are fearless in the Congress. We don't perhaps want everyone of the same view. Even though I support Palestinian rights, I believe in a thorough, open discussion of what's best for our country, and I could be proven wrong in my position. I think Cynthia felt the same way, but she was really isolated as a spokesman for Palestinian rights because everyone else is really afraid of saying anything on Capitol Hill that could be deemed as critical of the State of Israel. If the word is fear, there's no other way to explain it, and it, the fear is not about losing favor or losing a particular amendment or anything like that. The fear is about being hit with the reckless accusation of anti-Semitism. One of our diplomats of past history, going back to the Kennedy administration, was George Ball. He was a diplomat, a former ambassador to the UN, and a very wise man. And I heard him say once that the pro-Israel group of people in this country use a lot of devices to intimidate their critics. One of them is that they all vote. Another is that they all give generously of time and energy to campaigns, but the most intimidating instrument they possess to make points to prevail is the reckless charge of anti-Semitism. Nobody wants to be called an anti-Semite. I know how the sting is because I spoke critically of Israel on a number of occasions, and as I look back on it, I should have been more critical, not less critical, but that caused me to be labeled as anti-Semite by my opponent in the campaign of 1980, and it's not a pleasant experience to be called anti-Semite, but it is viewed as the worst stain a person can have on their character. I really believe that is a widely held definition of the term anti-Semitism. In any event, it is, in my opinion, the fundamental reason why Israel is not debated, the relationship of Israel to our government is not examined openly in a civilized way on Capitol Hill or any other place in our country today.
And can we talk a little bit more specifically about the monies that went to Cynthia McKinney's opponent? Because her opponent two of her opponents, the one opponent that beat her the first time, and Arthur and Hank Johnson in the newest one, there were specific lobbyists that gave money. Pro-Israel lobbyists that gave money.
There there are a lot of political action committees, as they're called, that raise money to engage in political campaigns, and the rules permit them to give several thousand dollars each election cycle to candidates of their choice. The last I knew, there were about 100 political action committees whose sole purpose is to support the interests of the State of Israel. They have various names, most of which conceal their true objective, but that is their one goal, to help the State of Israel. And they raise a lot of money for and against candidates. Back in my time, the total sum raised by these political action committees was somewhere around $4 million. I'm sure it's many times that today. And they do effective work in campaigns. For example, they can be credited with the defeat of Charles Percy, who was a U.S. Senator from Illinois and chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee when he was defeated by the Lobby for Israel. I say he was defeated by the Lobby of Israel because that organization claimed credit for his defeat. And one of the staff members, a good personal friend of mine, told me that AIPAC, the organization, the acronym for the organization called the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, devoted 70% of its resources in the year 1984 to defeat Charles Percy's bid for re-election to the U.S. Senate. So they raise a lot of money. I'm sure they raise a ton of money to defeat Cynthia McKinney in the primary just held. And if anybody else speaks up in a critical way about Israel, they are, and seek public office, they are certain to be opposed by a heavily financed opponent.
When you were a congressperson from 1961 to 1983, how would you assess the influence of the lobby that you've just described when you were a congressperson to being a congressperson today?
Well, let me mention that Pete McCloskey of California was elected several years after I got there. I didn't get my feet wet, so to speak, in Middle East affairs until about 1960. I had been there about 5 years. And by then, Pete McCloskey was a member of the House. He was very active in speaking out on this issue. He went to Beirut one time during the fighting there to meet personally with Yasser Arafat, the head of the Palestinian organization. They met in a bunker during the fighting, which was quite dramatic. I've met with Arafat probably five or six times over the years. There are very few members who had the temerity to meet with Arafat, but Pete McCloskey was one of them. Another one was Charles Percy. I don't believe he ever met Arafat personally, but he did speak out several times critical of the behavior of the government of Israel when Menachem Begin was prime minister. And he did vote for arms sales to, excuse me, arms sales to Saudi Arabia, which, I'm sorry about my sudden voice, he voted twice for arms sales to Saudi Arabia that the lobby disapproved. And because he wasn't 100% perfect in their eyes, he was flooded with his opponent received tons of money from the lobby sources. And Chuck Percy went down to defeat, as I had 2 years earlier. There weren't many of us back then who dared to speak out on behalf of the human rights of Palestinians, and those who did got into lots of trouble politically and actually were defeated. Adlai Stevenson was another victim of the lobby. Now, compared with today,
okay, and we have to hold that.
There's even less support.
Congressman, could you hold that thought, because
sure,
we have to take a break.
Sure.
I'm talking to former Congressman Paul Finley. He's joining us from Jacksonville, Illinois. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the MoDOT I-44 project. Northbound 55 between Rivas Barracks and Union, stop and go traffic due to an earlier accident. Southbound 270 between Dorset and Page, that accident's been cleared. Westbound 70 onto the ramp to Grand, look for an accident reported. Eastbound 40 between Bellevue, there's an accident going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to Graham Hanley, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44. You've got stop and go traffic in all your approaches under the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect some delays, just basically rolling into the downtown rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT is improving and working hard to make I-44 smoother and safer for motorists. Remember to stay alert and be aware of night work. Drive alive. Arrive alive. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy today, a high around 90 for this evening, mostly clear, low in the upper 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The St. Louis Comic Book Show takes place on Sunday from 10:30 to 2:30 at the Shrewsbury American Legion Post on Lansdowne. This is your opportunity to buy, sell, and trade collectible comics, cards, toys, and action figures. Admission is $2 and parking is free. For more information, call 314-544-2812. News to comic book fans from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Doris Walker-McGahee, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public School District is Monday, August the 28th. This is expected to be one of the most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August the 28th.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy.
Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy.
Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to former Republican Congressman Paul Finley. He's joining us from Jacksonville, Illinois. And Congressman, welcome back. You were going to finish your thought on how it compares from when your day to modern day, Cynthia McKinney, in terms of people raising the question, raising the issue about Israel, about the Palestinian people.
Well, back in my day, there was really no civilized debate or discussion ever in the Congress. Several of us tried to initiate such a civilized debate, but we were unsuccessful. Today, there isn't even an attempt to raise a civilized debate about the relationship of Israel to our nation's welfare, and that's really a pity.
But
I want to add just a word about Cynthia McKinney. I was with her in Atlanta and spoke on her behalf and gave her a few bucks of my hard-earned money for her campaign several years ago, and that was a day of great pride on my part. She was victorious, it turned out later on that year, and I rejoiced on behalf of our whole country, not just the district she represented. And I felt that the break that she got when her successful opponent one year tried to get elected governor, I believe, that opened the nomination process, and I had dreams that she would somehow be renominated and reelected, but it was not to be. The topic of Israel is more a closed topic on Capitol Hill and in the executive branch of our country than ever before. It's really a pity for our nation, a pity for the institution of Congress, and I hope I'll live long enough to see the day when we have a president who can break the ice, can take a stand on behalf of American interests in the Middle East, such as has not occurred since the administration of Dwight Eisenhower. So we have a long way to go. The stakes are high. We've been punished dreadfully as a nation because of our bias on behalf of Israel in the Middle East, and I hope that day will soon come to an end right at the moment with the defeat of Cynthia McKinney and the trend that seems to be well in place in Washington and elsewhere in our country. I really don't have much hope, but I'm going to keep trying.
Well, you talk about the issues that are not discussed, the issues that need to be talked about at least. Give us an example of an issue that is not talked about that we should. What are the discussions that are kept at bay?
For example, there are now 1.4 million human beings in what has to be described as a prison camp. The official name is the Gaza Strip. It's a part of the territory controlled totally by the government of Israel. The 1.4 million people are Palestinians. They are locked in. They can't get out without permission of the Israeli government. No one can get in to see them. The government has permitted them to have an election, and in that free election, monitored by wonderful people like former President Jimmy Carter, certified this election to be a proper election, conducted fairly. In that election, the Hamas group was elected to power, and immediately our government and the government of Israel set about trying to overcome that democratic decision and install a government more to their liking. Well, that's one horrible example, and the people in that godforsaken part of the territory controlled by Israel can't even have a good rested night. The Israeli government has seen fit to dispatch sonic aircraft over the Gaza Strip periodically each night just to keep people awake so they can't have a decent night's sleep. They bombed the major power plant that provided electricity so that only the well-to-do Palestinians who own a generator for their own purposes can have electricity. The rest of them have to get along with light by oil lamps. The schools are in disarray. The people have very high unemployment, over 50%. Their outlook is bleak, and their plight is not even noticed by the U.S. government. And the pity is that all through this process, the U.S. taxpayer provides billions of dollars of support to the state of Israel, no matter what the state of Israel does. That's the pity of it.
And in terms of other policy decisions that affect the bottom line, the financial bottom line of the United States, what are some other policy decisions that are being made without discussion?
Well, let me cite the Christian Science Monitor, which I think is regarded by just about everybody as being a very responsible, highly respected newspaper. The Monitor has had a series of studies of the actual cost to U.S. taxpayers of the State of Israel since 1975. That's about 30 years ago. In that 30-year period, the estimate comes to a horrendous total of $1.3 trillion. Not billions, but $1.3 trillion. Now, that includes the cost of debt servicing, which is a legitimate, proper part of the cost, because all during that period we've had deficit financing, so one might as well consider the gifts to the State of Israel as a part of the debt, and therefore subject to the financing cost. So there is an example that most people can't even comprehend. I have difficulty understanding what $1 million is like, much less a billion, but here it's $1.3 trillion is the total price tag, according to the Monitor newspaper, of our aid to Israel since the year 1975.
You are a Republican still?
Well, I guess so. I hope so. I'm not a George Bush Republican. I think he has been the most dangerous president we've ever had, certainly the most dangerous in my lifetime. I have tried to oppose all of the war-making that he has undertaken, and, of course, for that, I've been criticized by people that are loyal to George Bush simply because he calls himself a Republican. But I call himself a non-Republican. He has done great damage to the party that I love, the party of Abraham Lincoln, but he's still in office, and he is supported by a wide spectrum of the country that is grossly misled by his pronouncements about the justification for the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, and the war that Israel has just undertaken against Lebanon.
And what about the rest of the Republican Party? When I talk about the Republican Party, I mean members of Congress, United States senators. How would you compare them with your colleagues from when you were in office from 61 to 83?
Well,
are they the same Republicans?
I was in the minority in the House of Representatives all 22 years, so I didn't know what it was like to be in the majority, to be a part of the controlling party. But I, of course, could observe what was going on, and even though momentarily I was pleased when the Republicans gained control of the House for the first time in about 40 years, I rejoiced in that, but I was dismayed to learn the degree to which they've been captivated, not just by the supporters of Israel, but by what I term the religious right, which is a very numerous part of our population and has been bewitched into believing that the Bible requires Christians to support the military behavior of today's Israel.
The military behavior of today's Israel. We're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm having a conversation this hour with former Republican Congressman Paul Finley. He's joining me from Jacksonville, Illinois. I am Liz Brown. Stay with me. We'll be back.
Again, in to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott Cooper. I want to invite you to tune in to my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU. Join me as I take you on a journey inside the incredible world of flowers. I'll entice you with ideas from weddings to home entertaining and so very much more. I'm all about flowers and a whole lot of fun. Please join me Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as we stop and smell the flowers right here on AM 920 WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Claire Brown.
But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith. We'll see me through.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am having a conversation this hour with former Republican Congressman Paul Findlay. He is joining us from Jacksonville, Illinois. And Congressman, talk to us about your assessment of what happened in Lebanon and this country's policy towards Israel. Does that reflect what happened in Lebanon a reflection of poor policy on the part of this administration?
Liz, you've given me quite a menu there. Let me put it this way. If our government had refused to finance the abuse and humiliation and destruction of Palestinian society, we would never have experienced 9/11. We would never have undertaken a war in Afghanistan, a war in Iraq, and now we would never have supported Israel's war in Lebanon. That I believe to be a fact. The last president who was willing to take a stand against Israel's aggression was Dwight D. Eisenhower. And just to give you an idea of my age, I was a freshman congressman when he was leaving the White House. He was in the White House for 3 weeks while I was a member of the House. Well, that's a terrible price for us to pay for the bias that our policy has maintained on behalf of Israel through the years. If we had been willing to put conditions, firm conditions, on our massive aid to the state of Israel, if our president and our Congress had been willing to require that Israel behave by the standards of the UN Charter, by the provisions of international law, none of these dreadful calamities would have come this way, and my belief is we certainly would not have $3 a gallon gasoline at the pumps right now.
Well, explain, make the case for the 9/11 connection that you just stated.
Okay, back in the mid-1960s, when President Johnson was chief executive, we made a decision to provide a bias in aid to Israel, and this bias was not just in favor of Israel, but against the interests of the millions of Arab peoples in the neighboring countries. We decided to have this unprecedented bias in our aid program, and we put no conditions on it, which provided a blank check to leaders like Menachem Begin and Sharon and now Olmert, so that they could actually carry out military aggression against the Arab states neighboring and against especially the Palestinian people whose land they had been taking periodically beginning in 1948. And that bias, of course, was resented by about 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, many Christians, many millions of other people, and it continued at an ever-mounting scale, and George Bush, as president, has sustained the bias far more rigorously than any of his predecessors since Eisenhower. So that's the lament I would cite. That's the progression of events that led us to getting the payback from Muslims like those who are believed to have been the ones who perpetrated the 9/11 attack. If we had not had our bias against Israel, Israel would never have been able to carry out the devastation of Beirut and its suburbs in 1982, a devastating attack using U.S. donated war material that led to the death of over 18,000 people, innocent civilians. That's six times the death toll of 9/11. And of course, the Arab world, the Muslim world, knew all about the U.S. complicity in that dreadful carnage that occurred in 1982. And the minute the slaughter was over, what did our Congress do but give a check to the State of Israel big enough to replenish their entire stock of war material? I know. I was a member of Congress at that time. Well, Osama bin Laden has on several occasions said that 9/11 was a payback for the murderous behavior of the State of Israel through the years, including especially the terrible carnage at Beirut in 1982. And we seem to pay no attention to what he says. We could understand better what we have to do if we would pay attention to the grievances that have been voiced through the years by the Arab and Muslim communities. We, right today, Liz, the best thing for us to do is to do the right thing, the correct thing, the moral thing in our policy toward the Middle East. We should suspend all aid to Israel until it vacates all of the Arab land it has seized since 1967, the major war in which they expanded their territorial gains.
And so
step by step, policies that we have made in a biased way favoring Israel has created the animosity worldwide that has led to violence, that has led to 9/11, and in the aftermath of that war, that attack, We have invaded Iraq and Afghanistan and supported Israel and Lebanon.
Now, Congressman, there are those that are listening to this conversation right now that would walk away with the belief that you are saying that 9/11 is the fault of Israel.
Well, it can be traced to bad behavior by Israel. Now, you can translate that to fault. I don't quite put it that way, but
the step-by-step
process that began with biased policy by the U.S. government in the Middle East has led to 9/11, absolutely.
So would it be the fault of the United States?
We're complicit in it, absolutely.
Let me get to a caller or two or three.
I tell you, I have to leave you in 5 minutes.
And we'll be done in five minutes. We're going to the top of the hour.
Okay.
Let me take a caller or two.
I'm trying not to say anything that's controversial.
Well, you've come to the wrong show. You've come to the wrong show. Bob, you have a question for, Congressman Paul Finley.
Yes, Congressman Finley. My question is, the way this attack on Lebanon was carried out, do you think it had all the earmarks of a Rumsfeld operation that was planned and carried out by Israel for the shock and awe that we did in Iraq, and that we were knowledgeable of it? And what do you think about our even using it as a test for an attack on Iran?
I can't pin the responsibility entirely upon Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, but there is no doubt at all but what we helped Israel plan this war in Lebanon for over a long period of time. Seymour Hersh, a very brave and able investigative reporter, wrote an article on this very topic in the New Yorker magazine just about a month ago, and he provides ample documentation to prove that we were in cahoots with Israel for more than a year in planning the war. All Israel was waiting for was a pretext to make the war it had long planned. Now, shock and awe was a part of it. I think they misjudged the power of Hezbollah as a military force.
And we're hearing that criticism coming from their own ranks, that many people, from soldiers to policymakers to elected officials to citizens in their polls, are all criticizing their government in Israel of, you all misunderstood what was going to happen here, and you miscalculated and poorly executed this war.
Well, we took part in the planning of the war. There can be no doubt about that. We encouraged Israel to go forward with it. Once it began, we hastened shipment of laser-guided missiles to arrive there swiftly. We also provided some precious and scarce fuel for the aircraft. I think it's about $100 million value of fuel oil for aircraft, because they were using aircraft so heavily in the assault on Lebanon.
And in terms of the possibility of changes being made, and at least in the discussion component of our relationship with Israel, and the cost, the financial cost, and the cost in lives, and the discussion about the Palestinian people happening in our government, do you see that happening anytime soon, Congressman?
Well, it's hard to find a reason for optimism, but I do have unlimited faith in the good sense of the American people once they know what's going on. But despite the flow of information in this information age, the American people are poorly informed about a lot of things, including the facts about Islam. They demonize a highly respected major faith of U.S. citizens in that regard, and they certainly are not in tune with the principles that have made our country so great.
Congressman Paul Finley, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning.
Okay, Liz.
Take care.
If you have a tape of this, I'd love to have it.
It's on its way.
Thank you.
All right. Let me put you on hold so Howard can get your information.
Okay.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. I will be back after this break. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
How would that person apologize for such an atrocity? Would that person say, you know, I strangled your daughter, and it was so accidental, and I was so afraid?
That's John Mark Carr, recorded in what appears to be a random phone call in which he's talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case, a conversation caught on tape. Last week, you know, Carr said he strangled the 6-year-old in a botched kidnapping attempt. Later today, he has an extradition hearing in L.A. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
The woman who represented Carr during a case involving child pornography in Northern California says he'll utilize a public defender during today's hearing.
He's as terrified as anybody would be under the circumstances.
Patience Van Zandt says despite what Carr said in Thailand, that he did not confess to killing JonBenet Ramsey. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
At least 30 people are dead in a crash of a Russian jetliner in Ukraine. ABC's Sasha Nadezhdina has more from Moscow.
The Russian Emergency Ministry has confirmed 30 bodies have been found at the site. The plane is on fire. According to Russian Air and Navigation Services, there was strong turbulence at the time. It gave out some SOS signals and then it disappeared from the radar about an hour before it actually crashed.
The Pulkovo Airlines plane was headed for St. Petersburg from a Black Sea resort. When it went down, there were 170 passengers on board. Iran is responding before its self-imposed deadline to a U.N. mandate that it stop enriching uranium. It's given some suggestions on the matter to several embassies. The minimum wage in California is going up to $8 an hour. It's now $6.75. The new rate will be phased in over the next 2 years. The federal minimum wage is now $5.15 an hour. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 25 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is ahead by 6. This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the customer is always right, even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
They may be fine institutions of higher learning, but you know what? They're also fun places to get that degree. Here's ABC Stephen Portnoy.
The Princeton Review surveyed more than 100,000 students for its annual rankings. The University of Texas at Austin gets the best party school honor.
Well, you know, there are some lists that are less coveted, I think, in the eyes of university administrators.
Author Rob Franick says it is a key listing.
Some schools have clear and functional social scenes on campus. We think that that's important information for a college-bound student and their family to know about.
Franick says the University of Colorado was so embarrassed by its party school ranking, it tightened up restrictions on student drinking. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
Have surgery on your intestines now, and you may be going back to the hospital in a few years for an operation on your eyes. A British study says people who have had intestinal surgery have more trouble absorbing vitamin A, and that can cause eye problems even decades down the road. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a St. Louis police officer is recovering after being struck by a motorcycle. Police say the officer was trying to pull over two motorcycles in a Schnucks parking lot near I-55 in Loughborough last night when one of the motorcycles hit him. One of the motorcyclists was arrested and suffered slight injuries, but the other fled. The officer's injuries aren't considered serious. Authorities continue to investigate a fire that killed several show dogs in St. Charles County. It broke out around 4:30 yesterday morning in a kennel in the 100 block of Whippoorwill in Augusta. At least seven dogs died. Authorities aren't sure of the exact cause, but say an electrical problem may be to blame. Missouri is working aggressively to ensure that every voter in the state has an opportunity to get a photo ID before the November elections. That's according to Governor Matt Blunt, who encourages anyone who doesn't have a qualifying ID to get one.
You can receive it from one of these roving teams. You also, of course, can get it free at any license office in the state.
A hearing on the validity of the law was held in Jefferson City yesterday. The ACLU, St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay, and St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley have filed suit, alleging that the law harms disabled, elderly, low-income, and minority voters. Governor Blunt says he'll appeal if the law is overturned. A ruling in the case won't come until next month. The St. Louis Newspaper Guild will protest today in support of a St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter the union claims was mistreated. The Guild says reporter Carolyn Tuff was unfairly disciplined for her reporting on the Joyce Meyer Ministries last year. It claims the newspaper published an apology correcting parts of Tuff's stories that weren't in error. An arbitration hearing for Tuff is scheduled to begin tomorrow. Finally this hour, the St. Louis Zoo's newest resident will meet the public for the first time this week. The 3-week-old baby elephant will begin her public life when the zoo opens Friday morning, weather permitting. Voting for the baby's name continues on the zoo's website until Monday. The list of 5 names includes Sundari, Nisha, Malia, Sashi, and Jaya. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Advil Muscle Ache. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Southbound 170 at Del Mar and Forest Park Parkway, there's a report of road construction. Right lane is closed. Forest Park at South Newstead, look for an injury accident. Northbound 270 at Manchester, there's an object believed to be in traffic lanes. I think it's a ladder. Southbound 55 at 7th, look for a disabled vehicle. The right lane is blocked. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as the Eads Bridge and the King Bridge, you can expect some delays as the final rush hour is rolling into downtown St. Louis. There are a number of construction projects going on throughout the St. Louis metropolitan, as well as county, as St. Charles County and the Metro East. So just use caution and slow down through the work zones. So that's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips, spicy chipotle sausage breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday, partly cloudy day, high around 90 this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. For Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90, and Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Our house. Please do not beg folks for
Jonathan would kill tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress has been made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air filled with brothers covering the sand.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and we're going to take a segue in this hour. We're going to talk about something that sometimes I think is a very, very difficult, it's a very difficult topic and a very personal topic. It's something that none of us really want to have to talk about, but we all are going to talk about it this morning. We're going to talk about the transition. We're going to talk about the transition this morning. We're going to talk about how we make the transition to our next life. And we're going to start this conversation about hospice care. We're going to start it with Norma Brooks. And I want to welcome Norma to the show. Norma Brooks, good morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Just great. Thanking God for such a beautiful day.
I know that's right. I know that's right. And Norma, you are the CEO and founder of the Point of Change Hospice. What is a hospice?
It's an organization that's governed by physicians mostly, where clients have been diagnosed with a terminal illness where it looked like they're not going to get better from whatever the sickness or the disease might be.
And within the within our community, it's always very difficult for us to ever get to the place of never gonna. Never
yes.
gonna. We just are a people, a community that resists that. On almost at the cell level, this whole never part piece of it. Is that something that you find to be true within trying to bring the concept of hospice to our community?
Yes, it's very difficult because in generally when a physician tells us that we may have a few months to live, we usually say we're going to that higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult for us to give up. So we hold on and we're not at that place of understanding. But it's really a position where we're able to really have the dignity to live the way we want to live if we've been diagnosed.
And so the when a family comes to you and wants to talk to you about, makes the difficult decision causes themselves to be able to have this conversation with you about hospice care for a loved one, what's the first thing that you would tell them?
That they had the opportunity to direct their care. They're in charge of it.
And when you say they're in charge of it, do other places do it differently? What do you mean they're in charge of it?
They're able to make their own decisions regarding their last days. And they're made to do it in dignity and in their home environments.
And I think that that's something that people really, really, people within the community, it's very important to them. The piece about being able to stay in their own homes. Is this really, really an important issue to people that are looking for or considering hospice care?
Extremely important. Most people want to be with family.
They don't want to go to a home. They don't want to go to a facility. They want to stay in the house where they have been.
And they're able to continue to do as much as they can in charge of their own lifestyle.
So that's what Point of Change Hospice Care does. You allow people to stay in their homes.
Yes.
You come to them.
Yes.
And when families find out that there is such a place, a Point of Change Hospice that allows a family member to stay in their homes, what kind of responses do you get from people?
In general, we get some questions and doubts and not uncertainties.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to express to them is that they have a right to die in dignity in their environment, and they are able to select and govern their own care. If they decide they don't want medication, they don't have to take it. If they decide they don't want to get up today, they don't have to. If they decide they don't want to eat today, they don't have to. Whatever decision they want to make, they're able to make on their own with nobody's input.
And so you all understand that as a hospice facility.
Yes.
And we're going to talk some more to Norma Brooks, registered nurse and CEO and founder of the Point of Change Hospice. And we're also going to have some more conversations with other members of the Point of Change family when we come back. My name is Liz Brown. We're taking a break, but we will be back. Stay with us.
Controller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Them that's got shall get. Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have. But God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I am so excited to welcome to the advertising family of the Wake Up Call, the Point of Change Hospice. This is a very difficult issue for many people to even talk about, to even have to think about. But we do. And this is a reality that we do have to talk about this. And I want people, when they do have find themselves in this situation, to know of where they can go. And where you can go is to the Point of Change Hospice. And Norma Brooks, a registered nurse and CEO and founder of Point of Change, is one of the many people that I have in the studio with me this morning to talk about the Point of Change Hospice and what it can do for you, the peace of mind, actually, it can provide you with. Norma, let's talk some more about how families, the challenges that confront families when they come to this point in their life that they have to consider something like hospice care. So what are some of the family concerns or some of the family responses that we have?
Well, I'm not ready for this, and I don't know if this is the right thing. I'm believing and I'm trusting in God. Mm-hmm. What I want you to understand is hospice has been made necessary from the medical region. It's governed by Medicare and Medicaid and private pay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's organized that once the terminal illness has been decided by the medical staff, most times your physician, he will let you know, and most times we might say, oh, I don't have that. That's not, I'm going to get better. We're going to beat that. And the family usually is the one that helped the loved one make that decision, which is very, very difficult. And it's like people think that you're just giving up. You're not giving up, but you're getting to a place where it's been prognosed and diagnosed that I'm in this stage of life and I may die. I want to have a choice, and I don't want all of my care discontinued. Some cares continue. So what we do is the doctor will usually call an agency. But you as a client have a right to pick and choose whatever agency you would like to be with.
And that's why it's so important to know the type of agencies that are available out here, and Point of Change being one of them. So, Norma, I would like for you to introduce to our audience some of the people that you have brought in to talk about the different services that Point of Change offers.
Okay, I have Sister Jackie Rush with us, and Jackie is a volunteer on the hospice side. And what Jackie does is just what it says. Whatever that family would need, Jackie try and fill in. We have other volunteers, but Jackie is the head of the volunteer department. And what Jackie does is she come, like if you need a break and you want to go somewhere, not just the client, but the family member, the caregiver, whoever is there, that it may be a little stressful for you. So that department comes in, and they sit, we run errands, we cook, we do whatever is necessary.
Well, let's let Jackie come to the mic and talk to us about that, because that's so important. The volunteer piece of it is so important. Jackie, talk to us about being a volunteer in a hospice, and in Point of Change Hospice.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, being a volunteer is most important. So many times the family is already under so much due stress,
mm-hmm,
from the initial shock of the diagnosis. And it gives a volunteer a chance to bond with the client,
mm-hmm,
talk with them. And there's a great need to talk about dying.
Mm-hmm.
I know the family is heavy, but the patient needs to be able to express their fears or their acceptance about dying.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the volunteer is most helpful.
Mm-hmm.
They come in, we do meals, we can tidy up, you know, do little things.
And
for
I want
the
to
client.
remind people that you are in your own home.
Yes,
okay.
They're in their own home.
Okay.
And so they're already relaxed. And
mm-hmm,
but sometimes you yet don't have anyone to talk about that dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the volunteer is there for.
Because
it's too
hard for the family. I whenever my father talks about his will or anything like that, I'm like, I can't hear it. I'm just not even going to hear this conversation.
Well, at no time do we take any charge,
mm-hmm,
or take any authority or any power,
mm-hmm,
but just to have someone to share that emotion with,
mm-hmm,
it takes the burden off of the dying person.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember, That is the most important thing, the client. Mm-hmm. They are dying. Mm-hmm. You will miss them, but they will be the one that will be really experiencing that great loss.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be in your presence anymore.
True
so
enough.
We have to not be selfish and allow them to talk about the death.
And
the death is most important and needful.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Point of Change Hospice does mm-hmm. with the volunteers.
Right.
You know, that is one of your responsibilities.
Yes.
And that's one of the services that Point of Change offers. So, Norma, who else do we have here?
We have Angela Harris. She's our registered nurse, and she's our director of nursing. She's one that provides that. She's one that directs the provisions of the bedside and home care.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are director of nursing. So what are some of the nursing services that Point of Change Hospice offers to people?
Just as what Jackie said, the nurses piggyback off of that. We're there also to administer the medication that's been ordered by MD, and we're there to listen, mm-hmm. listen to our patient. Just to talk about what Jackie was talking about, we're mainly there listening to help the patient transition to a resting state. That they want to talk about it, and we're there to listen.
And that's so important, that for a family's peace of mind when they choose a hospice, mm-hmm. that they know that there are the medical experts there on facility that make the visits and,
yes.
and hold the hand
yes,
of
ma'am.
The person making the transition.
We do a lot of touching,
mm-hmm.
hugging, kissing,
mm-hmm.
and letting the patient know we're there for you.
One of the things that I find that I love about the Point of Change Hospice, and one of the reasons why I'm so excited that it's now part of the Wake Up Call family, is the God connection that
yes.
you make with the patients. Because this is part of the transition piece of it, connecting people, keeping people, that faith-based piece.
Yes,
and Norma, that's one of the important pieces for you when you founded Point of Change Hospice, isn't it? The faith
yes.
piece?
Yes, yes, yes. It's really hospice is really helping the patient in every aspect of life that we're able to do. And that's giving and listening and comforting. We do comfort measures, make them as comfortable as possible at all costs.
And Cassie, not last but not certainly not least, you are a registered nurse and you are the assistant director of nursing. And I know that prayer and faith plays a very important role for you when you deliver services to people at Point of Change Hospice. Talk to us about that.
Yes, it does, Liz. Good morning.
Good morning.
It does. Comfort. That we can offer from Point of Change, our hospice program, comes from the beginning and the source of which our company was founded, and that was on God. I must say that because I think that it's an integral part of our services, and that most of our people have a desire to be active in church and they long for the things that they used to be able to do, but now they're in a state where they cannot do these things anymore. So we're there to comfort them. We're there to listen to them, let them express how they feel, if they want to quote a scripture, if they want to say a prayer, whatever is in their hearts, we're there for them. Not only do we have a desire to keep them comfortable, but we have other skills that come in beside our nursing. That includes our chaplains. It includes our physical therapists, our occupational therapists. All of these people come in to see what they can do to make you more comfortable. It is our desire at Point of Change Hospice to make the last hours and months of your life pleasant as possible.
And again, to hold your hand as you do this transition.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. to be there for you in any given way. We also do offer social services, and the social workers come in and work with the family and help them work through problems that they may have. We're just excited about our company, and we believe that God is behind our efforts, and it's our desire to make our patients transition the most easy and pleasant as possible.
And if I can give your phone number out here as we go to our next break, the phone number for Point of Change Hospice is 535-4500. That's 535-4500, Point of Change Hospice. And when we come back, we have to talk about also the some other services that Point of Change offers, and that is the bereavement follow-up. Let's talk about some of that when we come back. I am here talking to the CEO and founder, Norma Brooks, of Point of Change Hospice, as well as Angela Harris, a registered nurse, director of nursing, Cassie Stoner, registered nurse and assistant director of nursing, and Jackie Russ, hospice volunteer. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back with more of our conversation with the Point of Change Hospice. Stay with us.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain. But I will be in your heart still, telling you, don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This hour I'm having a conversation with a new member of the Wake Up Call family, the Point of Change Hospice. And we were talking about this is a hospice, and it's an entity that helps with that transition onwards. And one of the things we were talking about prior to the break was the connection with faith that the Point of Change has with its patients. But, Norma, you wanted to add a comment about that, about when we talk about faith, that we're not trying to exclude anybody.
No. And what I want to explain to you, we are a Christian-focused organization, and we're governed by the high powers of God. But we want everybody to know that this is open to anybody. It's not just for Christians. It's open for whosoever want to come. And it's directed by the Medicare and Medicaid system. So if you're a non-believer or you're not a faith-based, you're welcome also. And there's coverage for that. But what I wanted to really share was that we have bereavement counselors. And if your faith is Catholic, you're Jewish, you're Baptist, you're Pentecostal, you're
Muslim,
you're Seventh-day Adventist, we have those counselors on hand. So we're not pushing no religion on you. We're not doing that. What we're trying to do is be there for you in your stages of life that's been diagnosed as terminal. We're here to help serve you through this time with the utmost respect and dignity. And we have saying at Point of Change that we want you to know that we're here to help you make that change into the next life.
And in terms of the services, it seems like there are a whole lot of stages involved with going through this transition, that that there is the stage with the grief, the after the transition, that during the transition. There's also the stages that, that deal with the medical profession. I think it's important for people to understand that once you decide that you're going to go with hospice, you're not giving up your doctor's care. You're not giving up nurse's care or anything like that. So talk to us about the physician-ordered services, because it's not just nurses, it's also doctors as well.
Yes, ma'am. It's governed by physicians, where the nurses take the orders from the physicians, and the service, point of change service, is governed up under physicians.
Mm-hmm.
Your physician orders the medication, the service that we deliver, the OT and the physical therapy.
That's the occupational therapy?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. OT is occupational therapy, physical therapy, as well as speech therapy.
And so we're talking about medical equipment, we're talking about medical supplies, and we're talking about medication for pain relief.
Yes, ma'am, to keep them as comfortable as possible. Point of change, hospice does all it up under physician's orders.
So we have doctors that, again, I want to emphasize for people, this is at your home. We're not talking,
in your home.
We're not taking anybody out of their home.
No, ma'am. We're in the home, in the comfort of their home with their family members.
And so let's talk about some other pieces of this. When we talk about the support for terminally ill and their families, talk about one of the concerns of a family is the financial piece of this. What does this cost a family? How expensive is this? Will we be able to afford it? It sounds like for hospice care that I might not be able to pay for my mother and my father and my aunt or my uncle.
Okay, and that's where we sometimes don't know the benefits that we have. But you have Medicaid coverage, you have Medicare coverage, and you also have private pay. And we do help when there's no benefits. We help because we're giving service, and I told you guys we're orchestrated by God. But what I want you to know, if you worked and you get Social Security benefits, you are eligible. You pay us nothing out of pocket, zero. Our cost is the same for all clients. You pay nothing out of pocket. Medicaid coverage, it's there. You get that also in case your work has not been throughout your lifetime. Medicaid pays a portion. They don't pay it all, but they pay a portion. But you have HMOs that some of your benefits may be. But most of all, Medicare coverage. If you worked, this is a coverage that belongs to you. And you pay zilch, nothing, zero, out of your pocket. Private pay. You may have private insurance. A lot of people sign up for that. You have those benefits also. But remember and keep in mind, you pay us zero. The government pays, the state pays, private pay, insurance pay. And if you don't have any benefits and you'd like to give us a try, just give us a call.
And that number is 535-4500. That's 535-4500. And Norma, one of the things that I would like to talk about also is, or at least to underscore again, when a person reaches this point when they get this kind of a diagnosis from their doctor, the doctors already have in mind some of the places that they want to send people. So I think it's important for you to remind people that this is their choice.
Yes. Yes, you have a choice. You choose. Like I told you, you're in charge. You're totally in charge. All the outsiders, we are helpers. You govern your medical care. At this stage, you can select. You can select us to point of change. You won't be displeased. We have physicians that work with other agencies and have other places, but we're Old Homer Phillip nurses. We're State Community College graduates.
You are former Homer Phillips.
Former.
Not old. You're former.
Thank you. We're former. We stayed until Homer Phillips closed. That's how dedicated we are to the community. We're in the inner city, in North City, right off of Newstead and Natural Bridge, and we work directly in the communities. And when you call us, we're coming. It does not matter what hour, we're coming. Yes, and as I was saying, we're former Homer Phillips staff and Homer Phillips graduates and State Community College and Illinois graduates. And we just want to be there. We, at the point of change, want to help you make that change and that transition into the life of eternity. And we thank God for you all today. We praise and ask the Lord to just let you have an ear to what we're saying and allow us a chance to be there to benefit and to service you. And it's really, guys, it's the first black hospice certified agency in the city of St. Louis in the state of Missouri. And that's what I wanted to add.
And I think, and you were reading my mind. One of the things that I think that is so important. In fact, Norma, other businesses, other nurses, medical folks have brought this to you. That there are cultural differences, okay?
Differences.
And they talk about how we don't know what to say when we get into black people's homes. We don't know how to make that connection, mm-hmm. and how needed a hospice is that understands black folks.
Yes. I didn't really want to go there, but there is a great need. As always, we need black facility. We need hospitals. We need nursing care. We need many things, grocery stores, many things. So this is the desire that I had, and the Lord gave us that, and we're fulfilling that desire. But I need your support. I need you to call me and tell me, I want to give you a try to take care of my wife or take care of my grandmother or take care of my dad or take care of even my baby. Mm-hmm. We even have Dr. Johnson as a pediatrician that supports us greatly.
And
so
how
we're
hard
open.
That must be. How hard that must be.
Very difficult.
And the number is 535-4500. I'm not going to go to the age piece, but if you were able to add up all of the years of experience that you have, Norma, on your staff, with your volunteers, with the entire resources of Point of Change, we're talking about a lot of decades of experience.
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe about 100 years.
Maybe about 100 years.
More than 100. We have many, many years of experience. See, we have other parts of the company because we have AAA Home Care Agency, Inc. That's where you're in the hospital, or you're in your home, you get sick, you have a fall, something happens where the doctor says, I want a nurse to go come in. We have that service also. That's been established to be 10 years in August next year. And we have what's called a Point of Change Nursing Service, and that's a branch that's covered by Medicaid. Your state funds that. And what we do in that is where we go in and help you with your housework, your household duties, your bathing, your grooming. We have all branches, so you don't have to have three or four agencies in your home. All you need is us, and we do it all.
Amen. And that's a Point of Change hospice. And I want to give out that number because I know that you all need to write this down and give them a call. The number is 535-4500, 535-4500. And, Norma, we have a couple more minutes left. Tell me, what was the... What happened in terms of that moment that you made this decision that, you know what, I want to do something that has never been done before. I want a black-owned hospice care facility. I want Point of Change hospice. What happened? How did that come to be?
Well, some of you may not understand it, but it's God-given. I would work, and I would see patients having great needs and not wanting to go into the hospital.
They want to stay at home.
Mm-hmm. And I would be at the bedside. And it was such a great... I researched, and I found out about very few hospices at that time. And we've been working on this project for 10 years. And I explained to you that the AAA had been open 10 years in August next year, 2007. And I started working on it, and I've been working on it ever since. And it's not easy. As always, it takes a lot. And we put every effort, and that's been my goal, to take care of sick people at their bedsides and just be there for whatever the need is and let God do the rest.
And this is like the final stage of your vision.
Yes. It is. It is the final stage.
And that number again is 535-4500. And Norma Brooks, CEO, founder of Point of Change, I want to thank you this morning.
Thank you.
Angela Harris, registered nurse and director of nursing. Cassie Stoner, registered nurse, assistant director of nursing. And Jackie Rush, hospice volunteer. Thank you all so much for
joining us
this morning. And I would love to have you back again as we talk about and let people know how things are going at Point of Change Hospice. And thank you for joining the Wake Up Call advertising family.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
We appreciate
yes.
you.
Take care, and I will talk
to you. Thank God for you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And we will be back, folks. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Traffic updates can be heard at the top and the bottom of the hour during morning and afternoon drives. So if you need to know where to go, we'll tell you where to go right here on AM 920 WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care. Access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
You'll be well. You'll be great.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Cooper. Stay tuned for my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, coming up next on WGNU.
Honey, everything's coming up roses.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget the shows are archived at whiterosesociety.org. We are streamed on the internet at www.wgnu.net. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. My name is Liz Brown. Car phone. You're on the wake up call.
Hey Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to tell you that was an excellent guest you had on. I think you hit them from all points, Liz. That was You know, you helped somebody today. You really did.
I am really excited with Point of Change Hospice because it's not something that, you know, I'm not at the age that I'm thinking about anything like this. And thank God my health is not in a place where that puts me in that place. But many people are, and they need this service.
Right. You're right, Liz. And the second thing I want to tell you is that tonight at 8 o'clock, for people who've got HBO, a Katrina documentary is coming on called
The Day the Levees Broke. The Day the Levees Broke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's with Spike Lee.
Okay,
and one of the things that I'm going to be doing for Irene J. Smith and myself, we're going to be doing for the Urban Institute.
Right.
It's not this week, but it will be the following week that we will show that movie.
Okay.
We're going to show that movie.
Oh, they need to see it.
Okay,
see it
because
last night.
People,
okay.
People need to see it. The first half of it was last night. The second half is tonight.
Right, it's excellent. I mean, he puts the president right on the spot, him lying, saying, I didn't know nothing about the levies, but to show tell them about it the days before.
And the other piece of it also is that I've read the reviews. I've been cutting out and keeping the reviews of this movie. And I always like reading the normally I read the reviews after, but this one I've been reading the reviews before. And you know what the criticism of it is?
What's that?
The criticism is that why did it focus just on black people?
You're right.
That's the criticism of the movie.
Yeah.
When they have a historical displacement of an entire race of people, yes, there were white people that were affected, no question about it, but I think America should celebrate anything that focuses on the issues of the community of African descent because this isn't a society that focuses on those issues from a positive perspective at all. So anything that anybody does is to focus on our issues should be celebrated as opposed to criticizing for doing it.
Exactly. That's true.
All right now.
Thank you again, Liz.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And, you know, anybody that is interested, again, those of you that are interested in finding a hospice care, in-home hospice care, you don't have to take anybody out of their home. You don't have to do that. Point of Change will come to your home and give your loved one the services that they need at that point in their life. The number there is 535-4500. That's 535-4500, Point of Change Hospice. And my name is Liz Brown. I kind of want to end where I began today. I want to kind of end where I began today. The way things are going for George W. Bush, it's not good for him, but I don't know. He's one of those people that, have you ever had these friends in your life? Have you ever had people in your life that when things are not going good for them, your life is messed up too? That they bring all of the craziness that's going on in their life, somehow it ends up having the same kind of impact on your life. Well, things are not going good for Boy George, and what that probably means is things are not going to be going good for you either. There is a front page story in today's USA Today. Headline, above the fold, GOP's poll numbers are up after terror arrests. Huh. Democrats' advantage in fall votes narrows on this issue. What does that mean for your life? If somebody's poll numbers went up, if this administration's poll numbers went up after whatever happened over in Great Britain, understand that stuff is going to happen. Other stuff is going to be coming. I predict. And then above that headline, gas prices slip and the worst may be over for this year. Let me see, 60 days outside of an election, gas prices start to drop. Hey, Howard, what are the odds of that? What are the odds of that? Now, understand, if you think that I'm just making this stuff up, let's play Spock. Let's try to stay with logic for a second. Yesterday, the price of oil went up to $374 a barrel. And there's a headline in today's price, today's USA Today, saying gas prices are going down. Come on, you don't have to be a mathematician to understand when you're being played. How does the price of oil, the price of a barrel of oil, how does that price get to go up and then your gas prices go down? That has never happened. How does that happen? Oh, yeah, somebody's trying to get elected and somebody's trying to take away an election season issue. Prices dropped 7.6 cents, gasoline prices all across this country from a week ago. Check this out, because they think you're stupid. I know you're not. This was the biggest one-week drop in 9 months. Let me see. August, September, October, November. Oh, they can afford to drop your prices for, because they gouge them. They have more money than they know what to do with. Mattresses are stuffed in CEOs' offices, CEOs' bedrooms all across Exxon and British Petroleum. They have money. They are using money to light their $200 Cuban cigars. So they can afford to let the gas prices go down anything, knowing that they get to shoot it back up to $5 a gallon after election. Are they cool with that? It is illogical for gas prices to be going down now. I'm filling my tank up like every other American out here now. Understand that I am going to fill my tank up, but I am not stupid, and I do not believe that gas prices are headed down in any permanent way. They are being manipulated to provide a political advantage for the Republican Party. That's what is happening right now, because it is illogical for the prices to be going down. It fell for the 11th straight day. The average price is now, and remember, they've been trying to figure out what is that magical number, that magical mental number in American minds that tell them that, you know what, price of gas is way too high and I can't afford it? $3. $3. So all they're going to do is bring it down below $3. Oh, they've done the psychological studies. Trust me. They're working with folks to figure out how your mind works and how your fears work. And they figured out that $3 drives you crazy and makes you not go to Walmart. Walmart had the biggest drop for the first time in 15 years in consumer buying last month. So tell me, price of gas is high. The pipeline is corroded. The price of gasoline or price of oil is up to historic highs, went up again yesterday, and you telling me, and hurricane season is starting. We're in the beginning stages of it. Tell me how the price of gasoline and the war is going on in Iran, Iraq, is saying, the word on the street is, Iran is not going to accept this deal that's being offered to them to get off of nuclear inspirations. So tell me again why oil prices, why gas prices dropped. Tell me again. What does it have to do with? It is an artificial manipulation in order to gain advantage in a political season. Period dot. Period dot. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back tomorrow. We have many things to talk about, and we're going to get it done. Until then, stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
Say the progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do